Welcome everyone to the Friends That Carry On podcast, where we dive deeper into our trips, unpack tips, and everything in between. Now sit back, relax, and get ready to go on a trip with your favourite group of friends.
Hello and welcome to the Friends That Carry On podcast. We are a group of friends who love to travel the world and share our adventures with our listeners, hoping to inspire initially FOMO within our own friends, but hopefully do the same thing with our listeners to get you out there and traveling. So anyhow, we've dedicated a podcast to doing that. Today is a special episode. This marks our 50th episode. So that's a little milestone for the Friends That Carry On podcast. And to celebrate that, we've got a very special guest. We have Jen Lee from Travel Planners International with us today. Welcome, Jen.
Well, hey, guys. Congratulations on your happy episode-versary.
Thank you.
Great to
Thanks
be here.
Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, sure.
Well, Jen, I know, obviously, you've got a big travel background. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure, yeah. So I'm the VP of Sales and Marketing for an agency. They call it a host agency in the travel business. We support about 4,200 small business owners across the country, all travel advisors or agency owners that have advisors working with them, who are passionate about turning their love of travel into something profitable and, you know, share their experiences and their expertise with the world. I actually only joined the industry about 4.5 years ago. I came from a small business consulting background and worked with a lot of small business owners, solopreneurs, people launching a business. You know, they were excited about something, but they weren't quite sure, how to make it happen, how to make it profitable, how to market themselves. And TPI is how we're referred to in the industry, hired me as a consultant. And then I got in there, guys, and I was like, holy guacamole, there are some seriously passionate, fabulous individuals in here. The industry itself has been around for a long time. It's gone through a variety of different renditions, due to the way they've been paid. So back in the day, I don't know how old you guys are, but I'm 54, I think. Yeah, I'll be 55. I think I'm 55. I always forget how old I am. Anyway, I remember back
close.
In the days.
Yeah.
Yeah, very close, right? I remember back in the day, you had to go to a travel agency to buy an airline ticket. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah. We were talking about that the other day. Tony and I started traveling together in the late 90s and trying to remember how the heck we booked the trip.
Yeah. Well, I can remember sitting into my Delta. I'm a Delta freak. I love Delta. And I was sitting in the Delta plane because I traveled for a living anyway. And you would go in that little book and you'd have to thumb through the book and you'd see where you could, you know, get your connections and you'd call a travel agent. But anyway, so it's gone through a lot of renditions. And then, of course, with the online travel agency coming on board, that, you know, your Expedias and Travelocities and stuff still didn't put the travel industry out of business or the agency side to it out of business. They just kind of pivoted, right? They made adjustments. And it's happening yet again now during this COVID debacle that we are dealing with here in the country and across the world, quite frankly. But I came 4.5 years ago. TPI has been around for 33 years, started by Mom and Dad Gagliano, and we've been supporting travel agency owners ever since. So, you know, we do a lot of business every year and put a lot of people out on the road to enjoy the world.
Nice. Now, as TPI, you say they've been around 30-some years. Did they originally start off as just an individual travel agency, and then it grew to a host agency? And then how did that transformation happen to becoming a host agency? And then what are the benefits of being a host agency?
Yeah, thanks for that question, Tony. It's a great question. So they did. They started out as an individual travel agency. Tony Sr., who is we refer to him as Dad. He's not my dad, but if you met him, you'd want to be his child. They're adorable. Tony and Marietta started out as their own travel agency. And then they realized we're here in Central Florida in Orlando. And they had a lot of friends that lived up in New York and people from all over the country. And people wanted somebody to help them come down. So they started putting together packages, tour packages to come to Orlando and go to the Mouse House. And what else could you do here in Orlando? So they started kind of being a little bit of a supplier. And Tony came from an insurance background. He helped train life insurance agents. And he thought, well, heck, if I could do that in the insurance world, when they had a similar model, what the host agency model is, they had a very similar model in the insurance world. And he said, why don't we do that for the travel industry world? And at first he was, you know, kind of made fun of, but then other people started to realize, wait a second, this host agency is a great way to launch a business and to be in business. And basically what it is you belong to, as an individual agency, you have your own brand, your own business, your own identity, but you partner with somebody like a TPI because we've negotiated the highest commission levels. We've negotiated additional incentives and perks. A lot of things consumers can't get on their own, only if they utilize a travel agent, a travel advisor. And so if we bring our stuff together, right, if we bring it all under one roof, we're more powerful that way. And then when the OTAs came out, the online travel agencies came out, and when airlines stopped paying commissions to travel agents, a lot of the brick and mortar retail agencies went out of business and they went home, you know, quote unquote, they worked from home. And so they lost a lot of their leverage because of the way the industry had changed. And that's when they started partnering with host agencies. So host agencies have become, especially now, have really turned out to be the lifeline to a lot of advisors because you can't manage all this on your own. You can't sell a variety of different products and be able to keep up with all of your commissions and, you know, escalate all the issues. You just can't do it all on your own. So a host agency helps you with that.
Interesting.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. You asked a really short question. I'll give you a really long answer. But I think it's important. People don't understand, and I know your audience is consumers as well as suppliers as well as travel agents. But so this message to me goes across all points. You know, consumers, y'all, use a travel advisor. It doesn't cost you anything more. It actually can save you money in many cases. And you don't pay anything more. They're being paid by the supplier. And many of the suppliers, you know, the cruise lines, the all-inclusive, the resorts, they happily pay that commission because they know that the travel advisor is the one that is taking great care of that customer, making sure that customer's expectations are set properly, that they're being qualified, that they're managing that relationship until they show up and stuff. And then, you know, from other advisors, I just don't understand why any travel advisor wouldn't be with a host agency at this point. It's just, it makes no sense to me to do by it yourself. Not whatsoever.
Yeah, it sounds like now it's one of those situations where as everything has kind of grown, it'd be hard for an individual agent to really kind of stay on top and negotiate good opportunities in multiple mm-hmm. locations. So mm-hmm. to be able to provide,
Yeah, trying to track down the refunds or the future travel credits or future cruise credits and track down your commissions and understand all of that and still get the highest. Yeah, it's impossible. So it's a great. And the thing is that as you guys know, you've gotten to enjoy what travel brings to you and just as individuals and the people around you when you come home. Just imagine doing this for a living. You get to help people, you know, change their life sometimes, kickstart their 50-year marriage, you know, with a 10-day vacation. I mean, these are the things that travel advisors do. They're not booking engines. They curate really cool experiences.
Yeah.
You know, we don't get enough time off as Americans, so it needs to be utilized properly.
I agree. I was going to say, I think Jim and I can share the same sentiment. Like we were saying, you know, 20, 30 years ago, you had to use a travel agent. And for some reason, I had it in my head that, well, here's your plan, 10-day vacation. Here's exactly where you're going to be at 2 p.m. on Tuesday, 5 o'clock on Friday. You know, this is kind of what I had in my mind. And it's just been recently that I think our eyes have been opened more to what travel advisors truly can do. And it is providing some of those opportunities that you just don't really think of or would have access to on your own.
Wow, that's such an interesting insight. I would have never thought that. So it's so good that we're talking. Mm-hmm. You know what they do? I never used a travel advisor before. And I always had, that's mostly because most of my travel was, you know, we'd fly to Wyoming or something. Or my husband and I would go to his grandmother's house in Alabama. I mean, it's very sexy to do that. But it was it was business travel, right? So I'm like, I can just book my Delta Airlines flight all by myself. And then you go to a couple of websites. You're like, this looks like a good hotel. But that's booking travel. That's not what travel advisors do. That's the medium that they have to. You end up on a plane. You end up in a hotel. But I love to share this story. My husband and I were going to go to Salt Lake City, and I just posted on our private Facebook group for our travel advisors. Hey guys, we're going to Salt Lake City. Anybody give me a good recommendation for a hotel? Now I'm asking travel advisors. These guys know, because most of the time they've been to them or they know somebody who's been to them. So it's firsthand knowledge, right? And one of my advisors, Chip, said, oh, you have to stay at this one little boutique hotel. It's part of the Kempton brand. And he said, listen, when you go to check in, tell them this password. And it was like a secret word that only if you were part of the Kempton newsletter and you like read the newsletter religiously and you understood what they did you even know about the secret word? So sure enough, we did. And they were like, oh, you know the secret word. Well, what would you like? Free parking. We've already upgraded your room now because you know the secret word. And we're going to send you a bottle of champagne. And now a travel advisor told me that, right? Because they know those ins and outs. It's the little things like that. Hey, make sure you ask for so-and-so at this restaurant because they know me. That's what a travel advisor does. And so it makes a trip way more, deeper. I don't know. It's a juicier trip. It's got more photos that you can take because you've got a better experience.
It's that inside information sometimes too.
Yeah, absolutely. And especially if you guys are traveling as groups like you guys do, right? You all have different, you obviously get along. Is that a true statement? Or
do
you
most of the time.
Kind of
yeah,
therapy
most
right
time.
Now? Yeah, okay.
Almost.
All right, no therapy?
So, as long as we got we call it cafe therapy, right?
Right, as long as we got a cocktail in our hand, we get along great.
Good. Well, I mean, a travel advisor would talk to all of you and just find out what's really important. And is there something Tony's celebrating? Or is there an inside joke? That how hilarious would it be if a pig head showed up, you know, at dinner or what have you, like, or if the pillowcases were pink. I mean, silly, stupid things like that, a travel advisor can make happen for you. So I can't speak enough about them, obviously.
Yeah. Nice. Well, if somebody wanted or is either already a travel advisor or wants to become a travel advisor, especially with all the unemployment going on with coronavirus, mm-hmm. how do they get hooked up at least with, TPI?
Well, there is nobody else to get hooked up with. Let's make that very clear. Right. There's nobody else out there. No. To get a hold of TPI, just go to travelplannersinternational.com. And we have a little chat feature there. And Tammy Roan can take great care of you and answer questions. There's another website that a lot of people go to called Host Agency Reviews. And they provide reviews on different host agencies, and you can just, you know, I always encourage people to shop around. Each host agency has a different personality, you know, and that's okay. You know, as long as people are out there selling travel, I don't really care who you're with. I obviously want you to be with us, but only if you're fun, hard charging, passionate, want to make some money, and like being referred to as a rock star from time to time, then you'll fit in just perfectly with us at TPI. This is a good time. Go ahead, Tony.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, I was going to say, where's the rock star moniker come from? I noticed that on your website.
Me.
Because you're a rock star?
Because I started meeting these people, and I was like, why are you calling them ICs? They referred to them as independent contractors. I'm like, these are small business owners. Remember, I came from outside of the industry. So my clients, the people that I worked with, ended up on like Good Morning America and QVC and Shark Tank. And I was a regular on Fox Business News talking about entrepreneurialism and stuff. And so, you know, I came from outside and came in and I was like, holy moly, I cannot believe what these people do. This is incredible what they do. And they're not referred to in the format to which they really are. They're badasses. I mean, they are just hard charging. They work 7 days a week. They're so passionate about what they do. And so we just started calling them rock stars, and Carnival then picked it up. And I have an argument with Adolfo Perez, who's the senior VP of Carnival. I'm like, you realize you copied TPI. I just wanted you to know I came out with Rockstar before you did, but whatever. So there's that. And a lot of people who have been furloughed or laid off or gone to early retirement are joining the industry. And some of them who were furloughed from the industry are like, I'm going to just start selling travel. I know my product well. I have a sphere of influence, and people still want to travel. So it's a really good time to join the industry.
Now, is for those first timers coming from another industry, how easy or hard is it to get up and running and get a book of business?
Well, I think that's a great question. So first off, you have to go through some training. It's very important. This is not about, you know, you're dealing with people's credit cards and stuff. There's a lot of legalities behind having a travel agency or even being a travel advisor. So you need to go through training, and Tammy can help people make decisions on where to get their training from, basic training. And then from there, the book of business really comes from marketing. It just comes from telling people about it. And I always share with people, don't rely on your family and friends to book travel with you, because they won't, because they know you as, you know, little Joe who, you know, is always 17 in their minds, and they just don't understand what you do, and they're not going to trust you. And they don't know that. They just don't want to have their vacation screwed up by somebody brand new. So really, it's about utilizing social media. It's about spreading the word through your family and friends that you've opened up a travel agency and that you're excited to help people with. And we always recommend that you start with some sort of niche, like, I don't know, selling cruises, or, hey, listen, I love going to Italy, and so I want to help people experience Italy. And it's really about marketing yourself and setting yourself up as, you know, someone who's passionate about it and can help them experience it as well. And a lot of it's through social media and word of mouth. Not that hard. You just have to be willing to hustle. You just have to be willing to do it.
No, no, well, that's with any business. So obviously,
correct.
Yeah. So, is there other than marketing costs and spending on marketing, what is the entry cost for somebody that might be listening that wants to become a travel advisor?
You'd probably spend about $400 on training, and then probably about $200 to join a host agency, $200 to $400, depending. So let's say less than $1,000 to get yourself rocking and rolling. And then marketing does not need to cost you a dime. I mean, social media marketing is free of charge unless you pay for an ad, which I don't recommend anyone doing when they're first starting, because it's just not a good use of your dollars. It's really about opening up a Facebook group. I did a whole webinar on this not too long ago, you know, crafting a community of people that you want to serve, but it might have something that's similar. So let's just use the person that loves Italy. You know, you would create a community, and let's just say you live in Naples, Florida, you know, travel Italy for, you know, Naples, Florida travel Italy group. And it'll be people, and people will be Googling that. I'm looking for a group who loves to travel to Italy, you know, and I'm in Naples. And you start a group like that, and all of a sudden you start talking about Naples and Italy. Not Naples, Florida, Naples, Italy. Oh my goodness, I didn't realize I did that, but that's what it was. And, you know, you just start talking about it, and people start sharing best practices and start sharing their experiences. And all of a sudden people are saying, hey, can you help me go there? It's as simple as that.
Nice.
It's not that hard. It's just consistency.
Nice. Well, I don't know if this is exactly off of that, but sort of. Obviously, we're podcasters and bloggers, so we create travel content. And we work with Tima, which I think you work with Tima as well, or at least know the folks at Tima.
Yeah.
So absolutely. I know we're starting to talk about mixing our worlds with travel advisors and content makers like us and so forth. So you obviously came into the industry a few years ago and started rebranding and seeing different changes. How do you see that part of the industry going?
I think it is a super smart next move for two reasons. And I saw this 2.5 years ago when I started meeting bloggers, because I was listening to bloggers on stage, and that was the content I was listening to at the time, not podcasters like you guys, but content creators through blogs. And, you know, they were talking about how they travel here and they travel there and blah, blah, blah. And I raised my hand. I'm like, now, what do you do when somebody reads your blog and says, I want to go there, can you help me? They say, oh, well, we tell them to call a travel advisor. And I'm like, okay, yeah, but like who? Like, how do you know who to send them to? They had no answers. And I was like, you realize, and they don't want to be travel advisors for the most part. Many do, and some have become travel advisors, and they use that love of content creation as their way to be able to market themselves. But it's two completely different skill sets. The content creator is a very different skill set than a curation of experiences, where there's a lot of logic and a lot of follow-up and a lot of, you know, details and crossing of the T's and dotting of the I's. Where in content creation world, in many cases, it's very like opinion oriented and just, you know, dreamlike, it's storytelling. But if the two came together, I mean, what a knockout. I mean, most businesses have people that are called, I don't know, marketing people, right? So you have a business that's like the operations person, and then you have the front person. So why have they not connected is beyond me. I think mostly it's because travel advisors have been super busy booking travel and have been really busy. Simple marketing gets people calling them and then they get referrals. And so they haven't seen the need to think outside of it and to figure out, how do I work with that content creator to help them make money, to help me make money. And I think from the blogger standpoint, coming back across, it's like, they don't know where to begin, who to contact. So I think it's a natural fit. Speaking on podcasts, I had my own podcast 7 years ago. And sure enough, that gives you lots of exposure. And I remember hosting my own podcast going, who can I interview next? We do the same thing with Facebook Lives. And so you want to entertain and educate your audience. And travel and agency owners and advisors want to get a new audience. You know, they want to expand their audience. So to me, it's a perfect fit.
Now, putting those two, travel advisors and content creators, together, the third part to the triad would be suppliers. So how does that throw that into the recipe and the mix, and how's that all come together?
Well, the only time anybody makes any money is when somebody travels. Let's start there, right? So the supplier only makes money when someone travels. The agent only makes money when someone travels. And then, of course, in this case, it's with the blogger. So the suppliers are antsy and anxious to expand their customer base through the travel advisor community. It's a lot less expensive to pay a commission and maybe some marketing dollars to a host agency for a travel advisor to bring them a new customer than it is for them to take out an ad during the Super Bowl, or to send all those postcards that they send, or to spend all that money on SEO to get a lead that they are now leaving up to a call center agent to hopefully upsell the right information, right? So let's use a cruise as an example. You know, somebody might say, ooh, I like this, you know, Royal Caribbean ad that I just saw on TV. I'm going to call them and I'm going to book myself on that really fun looking ship. But a travel advisor knows that, hey, maybe that might not be, that cabin is not the right cabin for that family. They chose an inexpensive inside cabin when this is a family of four, and we know that they have a youngster and that baby should not be facing inward. Like, they would need a balcony. They shouldn't be facing inward overlooking Central Park. They should be facing outward over the balcony looking at the ocean for it to be quiet. Or it's a family that wants to be near each other. So call center agents don't ask those kind of questions. Online travel agencies don't ask you those questions. They're not prompts to ask you those questions. It's what a travel advisor does that takes the whole experience into mind before they sell that cabin to that consumer. So suppliers, to answer your question, they don't care where they get the business as long as it's highly qualified so they have a satisfied client. You know, imagine if it's that family with that infant and that family chose a balcony cabin that's on the seventh deck that overlooks, you know, one of the noisier areas of the ship. That baby's not going to sleep. And they're going to be disappointed because guess what? On a cruise ship, they don't sail empty. There are no other cabins to, right, you know, send them to. It's like, too bad, so sad. I know you're on here for 7 days. So suppliers are desperate. They know they make more money when they have a travel advisor partner with that consumer. So they're on board with it. And, you know, I'm sure they're sponsoring some content creators as well to help, you know, showcase their products and their destinations in a way that feels more authentic versus it being, you know, their camera crew running around, you know, the picture. Don't you ever do that? Like, if you've gone to some review site, like I do this with on my Amazon account all the time. If I want to buy a sofa, there's the pictures that the manufacturer provide, but then I go to the reviews and I look at the actual sofa in somebody's living room. That counts more than what the manufacturer does.
Right. No, absolutely. It feels genuine and you get a good feel for it.
Right, someone tells you the truth, or at least right, what they think the truth is. What they think it is. So what do you guys think? I know y'all love to travel. What are your thoughts on traveling right now?
Oh, wow.
Well, we want to.
Ready to go.
Depends on the time of the day and what you're hearing.
Yeah, I mean, we've already had to cancel 3 trips so far this year.
Yep, so that's been frustrating.
Yeah. Where do y'all live? Ups and downs. Yeah. We're in the eastern panhandle of West Virginia. We're about an hour from Washington, D.C.
Okie dokie. Okay. Well, so, and I know before we started, you were thinking about trying to go down to the Keys, correct? To Key West?
We have a trip booked.
We have it booked. We're waiting to see whether we can execute it or not.
Yeah, and this is the funny part. We were waiting and waiting and waiting, and then all the numbers were getting low. And we're like, okay, it looks like it's time to go ahead and book. And I swear, we booked, and what was it? 5 days later, everything just started exploding.
Spiking. Yep.
And we're like, oh, God.
Well, you just have to keep an eye on it. Here's the thing, and everyone has to check their own confidence level. It, you know, you should never hear anybody in the travel industry use the word safe, because you can't say that for anything. Like, you just can't say, oh, it's safe to go to West Virginia. I don't know. You could have some crazy person that came in from Georgia that can make it unsafe.
It was never safe to go to West Virginia.
Right. Well, I don't know. But, you know, like, you should never use the word safe. It's really about, I think it's a balancing act now between the local government is paying close attention. Of any place, of any destination, the local government is paying close attention. They're going to guide their businesses and their visitors appropriately. Rest assured, right now, I would jump on a Delta airplane in a heartbeat because I know every bit of protocol that they are taking. I never got sick on a Delta plane to begin with, right? And because I used to wipe down. I was washing my hands before it was cool to wash your hands. I'm just saying. I've been doing it for a long time, and I'm never sick. But I would jump on it because it's never been cleaner ever. You know, I would get on a cruise ship as soon as we do get to get on cruise ships because it will never be cleaner, and there's never more over-the-top protocols that are being taken into consideration. I mean, this would be the most confident time to go. So just pay attention to wherever, you know, you've got it booked for whenever. Just pay attention to what the local government is telling you, because the local government is doing their absolute best. They have a vested interest in making sure their community members stay alive and that they're not sick. And then it's a toss-up, just like with anything. It's a toss-up. Every time you walk out your door, it's a toss-up whether or not you're going to make it back before COVID. So it's about you having a comfortability level and you taking the precautions that you think are important. You know, it's not like people are walking around licking each other. And we did joke about that before the podcast. You are going to Key West, so that could be a little different. I might choose a different key if I were you. But, you know, it's not that, you know, people aren't. I haven't seen anybody sneeze, and I can't tell you how long. Can you imagine if someone sneezed at a restaurant right now? Everyone would be like, hit the dirt! They'd be like, on the floor. People would be freaking out, leaving the restaurant room before people would sneeze. And what did we say? We say, bless you. God bless you. Now we're like, get the heck out of here! What are you doing, you demon? You're in the restaurant, and you just sneezed. So it's like we're looking at things a little bit differently now. I think we still have to live.
You're right. My family, we were at took a little vacation last week, and we're at a restaurant. There's six of us around the table, and I had the drink go down my throat a little bit, so I coughed. And my daughters, literally looked around and were mortified, and was looking for like the COVID police to come. I'm like, I was just gagging on a little bit of water. Stop
Oh
it.
My God, can you imagine? I can't believe they didn't haul you out.
I know, right?
And haul you out.
Well, our children are already embarrassed for us anyway, so
right.
It doesn't take much.
Right. It doesn't take much more.
No, it does. That's hilarious. That'll be like the new joke, right? Like, you better watch yourself, Missy, otherwise I'm going to start coughing in front of your friends. Like,
right.
You know, that's the new threat. Well, I want to know what they're going to do with menopausal women. So I'm going through menopause, and when I get a hot flash, I'm like, heavens to Betsy, if I get a hot flash right when I'm getting ready to get on a plane or a cruise, they're going to take my temperature and I'm going to be denied. So I'm like, are they going to have a hot flash, you know, boarding zone area, like a waiting room for all of us ladies?
You'll need a doctor's slip or something to take with you.
I think there's a whole book to be written on how to handle women's menopause, but that's a new chapter there.
It is. I'm telling you, we're cranky already. Now you're making me put on a mask. I was walking around the other day. I had a mask on, like, because I follow the rules. I'm a rule follower. Had a mask on, but I had to open it from time to time because I was getting a hot flash. And then I have a fan that I use, like a portable fan. So I had the fan underneath my mask. And I remember one woman looking at me. She goes, is that helping or hurting? And I'm like, I don't know. I just don't want to die of my hot flash right now. I don't know what to tell you. But I was like, am I spreading my germs? And I didn't realize it. Oh, my goodness. I'm such a bad resident here. So, but you got to do what you got to do. But, guys, the industry is strong. travel, you really can't take the passion of travel away from people any longer. You know, people are just, and even if we don't travel in 2020, you know, maybe if it's 2021, I know a lot of people are like, I don't even want to think about it till 2021. We just want like this entire year to be erased. But even if you got to get out of your house. There was a couple of governors that just recently said that it would be harmful to make the kids stay home. It would be more harmful from a psyche standpoint. And it's, you know, we have to travel. And so our industry is strong. We're very resilient. We've gone through many, many things before. This is the worst, no doubt about it. It's the most maddening. Got too many secrets to it to count because we just don't understand it. But the beautiful thing is people really do still want to travel. And so, you know, the majority of the suppliers, the cruise lines, the majority of the airlines, a good portion of the resorts are going to make it through because there's plenty of people with lots of money that said we believe in it so much and the pent-up demand is going to be ridiculous by the time 2021 comes around. But if you feel confident and you feel comfortable, you know, travel in 2020 if you can. We need to be able to live. You know, there's too many things being missed out on because people are not able to travel to go see their loved ones get married or, you know, say goodbye to them or what have you. There's just too much of it. Honeymoon's being canceled. That's the kickstart of your marriage, is your honeymoon. And it's not a selfish thing to say. That does mean something. So, you know, if you feel comfortable and you feel confident, and if we just all wear our masks like good little U.S. citizens, we will get it together and the numbers will start falling.
Well, I certainly hope so. Obviously, with Europe being closed right now, hopefully that's very temporary too. But you just, you know, obviously said the travel industry is strong and going to be rebounding from this pretty quickly. What are some bold predictions you have, let's say for 2020 and then going into 2021?
I think I was just listening to a Zoom call with Richard Fain, who's the CEO of the Royal Caribbean Cruise Line family. And with a governor, I can't remember what state, and they've put together, Royal Caribbean and NCL have come together and put together kind of a task force, a safety task force. And I can promise you this, the moment they start sailing, which I'm praying is in September, the moment they start sailing, I would say 2020 would probably be the best time for anybody to travel because things are less crowded. They are at the highest alert of cleanliness and protocols. I think people will jump on those cruise ships like nobody's business because people who have cruised before, and I keep saying cruising because cruising is a huge part of our, and I'm in the leisure travel side. There's the corporate travel side, which is a whole another thing. And I'll refer you to somebody for you guys to interview on the corporate travel side because it's a very different animal. But on the leisure side, people want to travel. So my bold prediction is that people will travel in 2020. They're already trying to figure something out. They're like, can I go to Cancun? Can I just go to Wyoming? Can I go to Vermont? They will travel if given that opportunity. And then I think 2021 is going to be no holds bar. I think everyone and their brother is going to want to travel. Their vacations have been stolen. A lot have been stolen by this virus in 2020. And I think we're going to be really strong. I think there'll be a lot of travel advisors who will reopen brick and mortars that have closed them down because people do want to have that relationship. I think a lot of consumers will get to understand travel more through Zoom meetings and video conference calls. And, you know, more people will be comfortable being on camera. And so they're going to have some virtual type things, you know, where you're getting to walk through a tulip field somewhere, right? And then because they've got the Facebook Live going on, they're going to watch it and experience it from afar and then book that vacation to go see it in person. A lot more authentic,
right?
A lot more authentic experiences virtually. Well, right. And then we can go.
And that's where we can come in. The suppliers can send us on trips, and we'll take these videos and send them back so the travel advisors can sell them.
Absolutely. It's so true, though. It's so very true.
Hey, we can host a podcast from anywhere.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you think about it, that's what people want. They want to hear from somebody who's standing right there. We have advisors right now that somebody who just went down to Cancun, and she's been doing a video every single day with an update of here's what you had to go through in the airport. Here's how long it took. Here's what it looks like now. And she just took videos of it now. Here we are at the resort. Here she took pictures of all of it. So everyone could kind of experience it with her, so they felt more confident booking that. But I think we're going to be cleaner and healthier than ever before.
No, you're probably right. I mean, that's the overreach. When anything big like this happens, the natural thing is to overdo everything, which is fine in mm-hmm. this case. So, yeah, I agree with you 100% there.
Yeah. So well, I want to know, are you guys going to go to the Keys? Are you going to make it happen?
I mean, right now we're still planning on it. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I think the biggest thing, at least for me, I haven't really talked to Jim specifically about it, but it's just the locations are open. You know, I mean, I'm not expecting full capacity, but I would like to at least be able to go to the restaurants and be able to sit mm-hmm. outside and, you know, do what you're supposed to, wash your hands, wear your mask. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I know they've closed the bars, which is fine, but if they get a little tighter, because you don't know what's going to happen in the next 2 weeks.
Right.
That's been the only concern that we've really had is just making sure there's something available to do.
Exactly.
Well, the state closed all the bars, I believe, is what it was, right? Yeah. I don't know. I live here in Florida. I went to a restaurant that has a bar, and we could drink. So
From what I understand, if your revenue, if over 50% of your revenue comes from alcohol sales, then that's what they close down. So if you're a restaurant that has a bar, you're all right. Or you can be open or sell to-go drinks, or I don't know the fine details, but I know something.
Isn't that hilarious? Isn't it hilarious? It used to be they would tackle you if you left the bar. Well, not in the Keys, but anywhere else. They would tackle you if you left the bar. Now they're like, how many drinks to go can we serve you? You know, and they put it in like a plastic cup. Like, it just makes no sense to me whatsoever. I mean, it makes sense to me, but it just cracks me up. What before was like the worst thing since sliced bread, because I always walk out with a glass of wine just to see if anyone stops me, just because I just want to get away with it, because I'm just that kind of girl. And I always go back because I'm like, they didn't stop me. They're like, how do you do it? Then I'm like, you just walk out like you know what you're doing. So, and I do. I make it outside a restaurant all the time with a full-on glass of wine if I want, and then I go back in because I don't steal. But anyway,
we have to get refilled.
Right. Yeah, totally. But it's just so funny now. It's like, and you can have alcohol served and to go, and you can have it delivered to your home. I mean, it's going to create some new habits and some new alcoholics. Well,
downtown Shepherdstown here, where we live, they've never offered outdoor dining, or you couldn't have any sort of dining on the sidewalks.
You could have dining, with, you couldn't have liquor,
or you couldn't have alcohol. Right. And now they're allowing it.
Yeah.
So there's several restaurants with seating set up outside, and they're serving wine and cocktails on the sidewalk. And it's I kind of like it.
I love it.
Yeah. We love that down here in Florida. Well, I think it's great. We're going to definitely learn some things along the way. I've certainly enjoyed listening to y'all's podcast. So I hope you make it down to the Keys. I'm going to send you the name of my friend Billy, who owns that jet ski rental and catamaran rental, and maybe he can help you out.
Oh, definitely, because it's not a question of if we go. It's just whether it's the next 2 weeks or it's going to be next 2 months. Or we'll be down there again, that's for sure.
Okay, good.
Well, great. Jen, I know you got to run, and we really appreciate your time. A lot of great information there. So anyhow, do you want to give the Travel Planners International information or contact information one more time?
Yeah, you guys go to travelplannersinternational.com if you're interested in joining a host agency or becoming a travel advisor. We're happy to walk you through it. If you are a travel advisor and you're with somebody else, that's cool too. I'd love for you to go to travelplannersinternational.com anyway and scroll down to where you see resources. And we have a free 31-page resource guide that you can download that's got videos and email banners and really great webinars, a lot of things COVID related to help you kind of get through this time. It's called the Fiercely Forward Formula, and that's free of charge, no obligation of any sort. It's just our gift to the industry. And if you're a consumer, call your local travel advisor, get on your Facebook page, find a travel advisor and utilize them. They're small business owners. They don't make money unless you travel, and it will save you time. It'll make a much better experience for you, and it won't cost you anything more. So those are my little plugs.
All right. Some well, fantastic. Info. We really appreciate it, Jen. Well, that wraps up another edition of Friends of Carry On podcast, our 50th episode. I need to stress that. That's a nice little milestone for us. Please follow us. You can go to our website at friendsofcarryon.com or any of the social medias at Friends of Carry On. Hit the subscribe button. So you can subscribe for free, or we have a package coming out for fans of Friends of Carry On that have a lot of great member benefits, which we'll be going into in more detail here very shortly. But once again, thanks for tuning in to Friends of Carry On. And until next time, hopefully you're out there traveling.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
Be sure to join the Friends next week for another great discussion. Don't forget to subscribe if you haven't already. You can also find the Friends and other content at www.friendsatcarryon.com or check us out on Twitter, Instagram and Facebook by searching Friends at Carry On. Thanks again for joining us, and don't forget to carry on, friends.